But when we meant to make prophecies like those here, the ones we're familiar with, of course, in the prophets, are bits of Isaiah in particular, also bits of Jeremiah, but that's about it for them. There's a whole set of what we call the minor prophets. It starts with Hosea, ends up with Malachi at the end, and we only get the little sentence. How do we actually cope with these? What's it meant to mean? Well, we'll have a look at Hosea, because we've got the purple passage from Hosea in our Old Testament reading about when Israel was a child by Martin. But how did Hosea get to there from talking about marrying a prostitute? The kingdom of Israel had fallen into two parts. After the death of Solomon, who hadn't prepared adequately for the succession, and there was a southern kingdom known as Judah, and the larger northern kingdom with 10 tribes in it was known as Israel. Israel went its own way, and we're now in the time of Hosea, 200 years after the division of the kingdoms. The king in Israel is Jeroboam II, and their worship is centered in Samaria, which you will remember from New Testament times. Relationships with the rest of the Jewish people was not good. And the northern kingdom was in a mess. And then God said to Hosea, go and marry a prostitute, Hosea. Yeah, you heard correctly, go and marry a prostitute. So Hosea went and married Gomer. And he produced, and they produced together three children. And they had particular names. You've got Jezreel, because I'm going to avenge the sins you committed in the reign of Jezreel. And then the daughter came. And this one was no remark, for I will not have pity. And the name means not have pity. Imagine calling your daughter not have pity, because that's what God is going to do. And then there was a son again, a little bit later, and for a son, name it Lo-Ami, and that one means you're not my people. The story of rejection is being built into this particular family. And it all goes wrong, and not surprisingly. We don't get something tiny clear what happens. She leaves him. Either that, she's got fed up, or she's got bored by somebody. And she's effectively enslaved in many ways. Either as a slave or effectively as a prostitute in the ownership of somebody else. But then God says to Hosea, well, I want you to go and get her back. Get her back and redeem her. And so Hosea has to go and buy back the woman who he married in the first place, take her back into his family, build up a new relationship. It's not clear at all at this point what the sons and daughters are doing. But he does build a new relationship. And she has to leave all her prostitution behind and her clients and her old master and things. And this new relationship is born. And the sons and the daughters get renamed into something more wholesome. My people and pity. The pity is there. And the end of that particular little picture is that God is going to forgive and restore Israel, just as that marriage was restored. That there was selfless love in that marriage, that Hosea had to exercise completely selfless love towards Gomer to redeem her, bring her back to health and salvation, both to physical health and salvation in the presence of God. There was hope in a broken relationship and in a dysfunctional family. And that, Hosea was told, forms the basis of your prophecies to Israel, to the northern kingdom, that dysfunctional family called Israel. Israel is a complete mess. It was actually a very prosperous area. There's archaeological evidence to suggest that the northern kingdom of Israel was doing a lot better in material terms than the southern kingdom of Judah. There was a lot of wealth around. But they managed to break all of the Ten Commandments. choose which God we're going to worship, but that God is the one that's going to give us the sorts of things we want.
You're on your own now. It's not my fault, it's yours.
and made this solemn agreement with you, and you never kept your side of it before. No, that doesn't say that. God says you're going to do something different. You're going to have to do something different. And this is the bit where you get that wonderful bit in chapter 11 that comes in. Because you've broken my heart. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I brought my son. The more I called them, the more they went for me. They kept sacrificing to Baals and offering incense to idols. You broke my heart. It was I who taught you how to walk. That's such an illustration that would be manifestly sort of clear to anybody who brought up a child. I held you as you discovered your first little steps. I held you to stop you from falling. And when you felt you were a bit more confident that you could put these man's arms around you, holding you, and you took over and prayed your knees, I picked you up and I knew you and I made the grace better. I did all those things that those who brought up small children would know that you did. And that's God saying, I think it's you. I can't be right. I really can't. But something has got to happen. Something different has got to happen. We can't just go through this cycle again and again. I promise you, says God. They may go after, they may go completely wrong. And there's all sorts of things that have gone wrong. Earlier on, he shows compassion to those in Israel and says, I'm not going to punish your daughters when they commit adultery and prostitution, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. I'm not going to punish them. Because it's the men who have led them into it. It's the men that are going to get punished. He has a very realistic view of how people are led into sin. And they're going to go after the Lord, and he says, the God who brought up the lion is going to bring his children back from the west. They'll come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, where they thought they were going to get their salvation. And I will return them to their home, says the Lord. That's where he got to. But then the amazing thing at the end of the book, at the end of chapter 14, he talks about, I'm going to make Israel as a blessing for all the nations, as a large tree extending to the heavens, and all the nations shall make quite a home in this, and they shall all be blessed. How? How can that be? Because the kingdom of Israel was destroyed. The 10 tribes dissipated over all the Roman land. How is God going to do this? Because I'm going to give a new covenant to Israel. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to give you a new covenant that actually my prophets have talked about before. Because even the prophet Jeremiah, that we often think of as being a mournful old man, and always saying sort of hard things. Jeremiah said, no, what you need is a heart of flesh and a heart of stone. And that's what God is going to give you. gives up on me and never gives up on you. This is the God that we will sing about later in the sermon of King, who emptied himself for our sake. All that Hosea has prophesied of Israel has been a joy and a salvation to all the nations. He's going to come to fruition in